much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hi-ho, one and all, and a very fond welcome to the sweetest music ever played.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Yesterday afternoon, Parker offered a cookie to Cindy Lou Peoples if she would show him her vagina.
What kind of cookie?
Plug the damn hole.
Boy, again, a gaping hole.
It's like putting, like, a watermelon into, like, a pinhole.
Wow, this is, like, the most depressing penthouse letter ever.
What did you do?
I tell you what, nothing says good morning like a drunken human alarm clock.
And now, doesn't often, Rayman look retarded, act retarded, not retarded. Count two bits to your cards. Autistic. Sure. Not retarded. Nigga, Tom Hanks, Forrest Gump. Flo, yes, retarded, maybe. Braces on his legs. But he charmed the pants off next to him. Won a ping pong competition? That ain't retarded. You went full retard, man.
Our feature presentation.
The great Robert Downey Jr. to get us started on a Tuesday edition of the Kevin and Bean Show. You can pick up the phone and get a call on the air. Win a prize at 1-800-520-1067. How's everybody?
Doing great. Thank you.
Good. Mike.
Mike. You know. Thug life, you know.
Don't even try to sell it.
We're going to get right to your calls. Here's Mike sounds a little bit depressed today.
Yeah.
He's having a hard time.
You're going to be okay, dude.
All right. All right. I'll take your word for it.
Here's the case of John Matthews. This is of special interest, by the way, to our friends along the Kevin and Bean Network at KCJJ Iowa City, one of our mighty stations. Here's a guy in Iowa who had some obstruction in his vision. Maybe this has happened to you. I had a tear in my cornea many years ago. I ripped it on a cardboard box, and it obstructed my vision for many, many years. Very annoying, very painful to have something in your field of view at all times. So this man is having a similar circumstance. So he goes to the doctor, and they did a bunch of tests, and they found out that what was going on is that he had a worm in his eye.
Oh,
you're kidding.
He was rushed into a treatment room at the University of Iowa Hospital, and doctors used a laser in his eye to kill the worm. Here's my favorite part of the story. The man said, I could see it from behind, moving, trying to dodge the laser. Oh. This worm was in his eye and alive and moving around, trying to get out of the way of the laser that they were using to try to kill it.
That's so creepy.
The worm was killed by the second laser blast, but doctors could not remove it from his eye. The man's body is absorbing the worm's remains. Doctors said he has suffered permanent retina damage.
No kidding. How do you get a worm in your eye?
Well, it's interesting you should ask, Lisa. It could have been a hookworm I might have picked up when we were in Mexico, or it could have been a raccoon roundworm that I could have gotten while turkey hunting, he told an Iowa newspaper. This guy knows his worms, by the way.
You know Lisa May.
Yes.
Gene Simmons for the band Kiss. Wow.
If you'd like a worm in your eye.
An avid fan of the Animal Planet channel, the man called the cable station, told them of his story. A film crew has come to Iowa and filmed him. The segment about the invasive eye worm will air on a show called Shapeshifters. What is Shapeshifters? What other kinds of things do they do on that show where a story about a worm living in a man's eye fits?
I have no idea, and I'm not watching it. That's gross.
Ugh.
I need to start watching Shapeshifters.
Even I, who has the horrible, like, niche shows that nobody watches, I don't know what Shapeshifters is. Well, I don't even know what it is.
Yeah, I can't imagine what the umbrella topic is for Shapeshifters.
We may have to do some research.
Unless it's just stuff that's not supposed to be where it is, I don't know. But anyway, what a surprise. You think you've got – I mean, I imagine there's a whole list of things in your mind that you're thinking it could be. You know, you're afraid it's glaucoma or something serious. It's some sort of a deterioration on your eye. The last thing you would ever expect is there's actually something in your eye that's living there, right?
Did it – if it was moving when the laser hit it, could he see something moving at various times?
I bet he could.
Oh,
I bet he could.
You had the tube in your eye, Bean. Did you ever, like, could you ever see the tube? Or was it behind your, like, visionary?
Yeah, I think it was behind, yeah. I think it was behind the retina or whatever. Yeah, okay. I don't think I could. But anyway, that's a crazy story right there.
That is gross. Thank
you. Whatever you got going on today, you don't have a worm living in your eye.
You hope.
The ripping and the tearing. The ripping and the tearing.
Yeah. 1-800-520-1067. Time for Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew. Hit it, Steve.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do? What it do? What it do?
What it do, nephew?
So, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
Speaking of the Tropic Thunder's Robert Downey Jr. as we was, he's also in a little movie franchise called Iron Man, and you win a copy of Iron Man 2 on DVD. Comes out on Blu-ray and DVD next Tuesday, September 28th from Paramount Home Entertainment. That is your prize for being on the air with us. Let's start with Alex. Alex is on line one. He joins us on the Kevin DeBate Show. Hey, Alex, what'd it do?
What'd you guys?
What'd you do?
Hey, so apparently Ron Artest decided that he wants to raffle off his Laker championship ring to fund mental health in school.
How about that?
That's good for him.
Very cool. He's actually, he does a lot of good stuff like that, doesn't he?
I heard Ron in a separate interview earlier this week, and he claims that he has two brains. And he said he really likes one Ron Artest brain, but unfortunately the other one peeks through every once in a while.
That's very honest.
I was surprised. I saw an interview with him as well yesterday. I was surprised that he said, maybe you saw this too, Alex, that he had received psychiatric care when he was very young, like a young teenager, and he thinks that that helped him, put him on the right path. And I guess his thing is that a lot of that isn't available to people anymore. A lot of those programs have been cut, and he wants to try to, you know, provide that kind of service to other people to help them. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's what he said. He lost the funding when he was in school, and then he wants to give back now, so I thought it was pretty cool that also he's kind of a wacky kind of guy, and he's going to give back to the community like that.
Yeah.
He is wacky. He's going to do some sort of a raffle where everybody can pay like $1 or $2 or something like that to have a chance to win his ring. And the other thing that's awesome about Ron Artest is he said, yeah, this one I'm going to give away to the people, then the next one's going to be for me. So he's planning on winning another one.
Why not?
Thank you very much for the call. By the way, he also, in that same interview that I saw, went off on some sort of like crazy out-of-the-blue rant about how upset he was that Pluto wasn't a planet. That's how the interview got on my radar. Apparently he's very upset with that.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. He said, I turn around and Pluto's no longer a planet. I'm going to find that guy and elbow him in the nose. I love Pluto. Everybody loves Pluto.
Bean.
So,
Bean.
Yeah.
Bean.
Yeah.
You what? Have to start some weird coalition with Ron Artest. Like, this is your chance, man.
Well, unfortunately, we can't. I mean, no matter how much we love Pluto and want Pluto to be a planet, it's not really up to us. I mean, it's up to the International Astronomical Union. We can't really do anything to petition those scientists because they're not really doing it based on public opinion.
I know, but I'm just thinking this is your excuse to, like, bump elbows with Ron Artest all the
to
time.
To hang out with Ron and do a rally, carry a sign.
Exactly.
Si se puede. Let's try Mike Line 8 calling about one of the new TV shows that debuted this fall season. Hey, Mike, welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show. What'd it do?
What's up, Bean? Hey, Lisa.
Hi, Mike.
So, yeah, I watched the event last night, and it just annoyed me to all hell.
Tell me about it, because I haven't seen it. I recorded it. But I'm scared.
It's like jumping in the middle of Lost Season 3 or something and just trying to figure out what's going on. It was way too confusing. I'm sure Kevin's going to love it. But you want to know what's going on.
If everyone keeps him up to date.
Well, this is the risk when you... look, I didn't watch it either. I have not been impressed with the promos that I've seen.
They just seem so over the top.
But I do have to give NBC and any of the networks credit for trying something that does require some thought, some intelligence to follow, rather than just something that you can tune on and just sit back and barely pay attention to and get it. I appreciate that. And that's one of the things that made Lost so interesting is that you did have to work for it. I don't mind doing that. But it has to be well done. It has to have a good story. It has to have good actors. I'm not getting a great vibe off of what I've seen so far at the event, but it sounds like you watched episode one and you're out. No more, right?
Oh, for sure. It's way too involved to keep with.
Did you have time, by the way, to check out Hawaii Five-0 last night? Because I did watch that.
No, I didn't see that one.
What did you think, Bean? Was it good?
You know, there were some things about it I liked. And that Scott Kahn?
Mm-hmm. Scott Kahn!
He's so entertaining. He's super good. And Daniel Day Kim from Lost, he's good. Yeah. And Grace Park is on it. My biggest problem with it is that the actor that they've got playing Steve McGarrett, the head of 5-0, this Alex O'Loughlin, I know CBS has been trying real hard. This is his third or fourth series they put him in.
I read
that. The guy's a zero. The guy has zero charisma, energy, nothing. I mean, if they cast that role well, I think this show would hold together pretty well. But he's just like a black hole in the middle of it.
I wonder why they keep trying to cast him in things. They must see something.
They must, yeah. But I'll definitely come back and check it out again. But it's impossible to catch up with all the new shows. There were four or five new shows that were debuting last night.
I know, I'm going to spend all weekend catching up on all the new stuff.
and a bunch of returning shows, you know, shows like House and whatnot, yep, that came back last night. But anyway, Mike, thank you for calling on the event. Hang on for your prize. We appreciate that. All right. It is Tuesday. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's see what we got going on today.
Whoa, whoa, ho, ho, whoa. You're a little excited.
Well, we got a big show. Glee returns tonight. We're going to be talking to the man who plays Puck on the show. Actor, singer Mark Salling is going to be joining us. I guess no one really around here is more excited about Glee returning than our man Omar.
Oh, he's over the moon.
Omar, as you know, does the Glee caps for us throughout the season. He's the guy who can't believe that that show is on the air and that people watch it. And he has prepared something special. I think he's got his own musical tribute to Glee coming up in about 20 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh, boy.
Dancing with the Stars also returned last night. How did David Hasselhoff and The Situation do? Those are the two that we are most interested in. We've got an update for you coming up next hour as well. We're going to talk to a guy who has a company called And Vinyl-y. He will take your ashes or the loved ones, your loved ones' ashes, and press them into a vinyl record that you can keep and play for real as a souvenir of the person that was left behind.
Huh.
I wonder how that business is doing. I mean, let's face it, a lot of music fans, a lot of people who have a song.
Yep.
You think something like that might be pretty cool?
I was talking to a friend the other day, big, big music fan, loves vinyl, totally mm-hmm. into it.
Perfect, right?
Yep. Yeah. Thinks it's awesome.
We have a Kevin and Bean listener who wants to tell us a story about how she vouched for someone and it was a totally bad decision. Ooh. This person effed her life up because she vouched for him. And that's the topic that's going to be on the table coming up later on today's Kevin and Bean Show. Because you're going out on a limb if you're saying, yeah, this person's cool, this person's all right, and then they screw you over.
That's like, you know, if you set someone up on a blind date. And your friend
yeah, you're,
is like,
you're responsible,
you
right.
thought this person was good for me. Yeah. I am never speaking to you again.
This is why I don't do anything for anyone ever. I learned
well,
my lesson.
That's an excellent, excellent way to live
Solid
your life.
Solid decision.
Mike, back me up. One of the greatest rock and roll guitarists of all time, Dave Navarro, joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show
yeah.
today.
Yeah. Unique sound. He's the man.
He's incredible. Jane's Addiction, of course, Red Hot Chili Peppers, a lot of other great bands. He's on the program today. Mr. Skin will be joining us, who runs MrSkin.com, best website ever, talking about how you can see the hot new female stars on this television season naked, because that's what he's about.
Yeah.
And also legendary movie director and producer Roger Corman, Ralph Garman's boss in this weekend's Sharktopus on the Sci-Fi Channel. Mr. Corman will join us. That, by the way, that's potentially too much show.
It really is. Let's not do it.
That's a hell of a lot of it. I don't know that that's an option at this point. But Ralph will kick it off with the Showbiz Beat right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. Thanks for tuning into the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:53.
And now, a moment with Ralph.
Definitely.
I mean, she has an amazing career, right?
A national platform to show off an outworldly charisma and talent.
That was a moment with Ralph.
Well
yeah.
done, Ralph.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, once again, a listener tipped us off to that one. Apparently something that everybody in the room missed at the time. But the listeners, they pay attention. They don't let us skip on anything.
I know.
Exactly. Tuesday on the Kevin and Bean Show, Ralph is here. It's time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Argar?
I firmly am behind DJ Goodson. I would like to shake his hand as soon as he gets out of prison and buy him a cocktail of his choice.
From what I know about jail, he'll enjoy it in prison.
You know what? Don't
Man.
Drag us into it any more than we already
what?
Have been.
I don't know who DJ Goodson is, by the way.
Psycho albatross around our necks now. What the hell's going to happen? Apparently, DJ Goodson is suing the Kardashian sisters.
Glendale.
All right, I'm behind him.
Because he was forced to watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians and Kourtney and Khloe Take Miami while in jail. Mr. Goodson alleges he suffered extreme emotional distress due to the outrageousness of their actions. And I couldn't agree more, Mr. Goodson.
That's funny.
He is suing for $75,000 for emotional distress.
You and can't just sue because a TV show is bad.
You can when you're forced to watch it. He didn't have any choice, man. Couldn't avert his eyes. A giant gargantuan, just Chloe just knocking down buildings in Japan.
Like she does.
Hideous. So I'm with you, DJ, and put me up for that class action lawsuit because I'd like a little taste of that Kardashian cashish as well. Well, if you listen very closely, boys and girls, you can hear the sounds of millions of hearts breaking around the world. People magazine reports that Kings of Leon frontman Caleb Followill has finally proposed to his longtime girlfriend Lily Aldridge. They are officially engaged. Oh, I'm sorry, ladies. I know you love the Caleb.
Oh, well.
couple met 2 years ago when Lily appeared in a video for the hit You Somebody. They haven't set a wedding date just yet, but they are truly, truly, truly in love.
That is so unusual for a musician to hook up with an actress slash model.
Why you gotta
you
hate
don't see
love,
it very often.
Why do you have to hate love? I only hope their marriage is as successful as that of Ohani Noah and Jennifer Lopez. Of course, they were married some time ago for a short period of time, but in a desperate attempt to get someone to notice him, Ohani Noah has yet to give up his tenuous connection to Jennifer Lopez. He has threatened a tell-all book. He has threatened a sex tape he claimed to have had and was planning on releasing, none of which has appeared as of yet. But he will be auditioning for American Idol tomorrow here in Los Angeles.
Oh, my God.
Jeez.
See, Jennifer Lopez is a judge. So,
oh, my God.
Ohani thinks he can
get
a little attention by showing up at the auditions. And he plans to sing one of her own songs in front of her.
Oh, God.
What a tool.
Now, here's a small problem. The show's age limit for auditioning is 28 years old. Ohani Noah is 36 years old. However, they have let older folks through before. It's not like they haven't used that to their advantage. Most recently, I can think of Pants on the Ground, for example.
Absolutely. That dude was like 60, right?
So, if it makes good TV, he may
they won't
get
do
through.
It. They, they won't let him through.
All right, Bean has passed judgment.
There well, think about it. I mean, Jennifer Lopez is their new judge. They're not going to go out of their way to put her in an uncomfortable situation on camera.
No, who would do that on television? That would that would not make for good television whatsoever. Why would you do that? China,
hey,
wrestler known, of course, as by her real name Joni Lauer. She has taken another flying leap off the wagon. This is after she already appeared on Celebrity Rehab, by the way.
Yeah.
She was rushed to UCLA Medical Center yesterday morning due to some form of overdose. Now, TMZ originally claimed the problem was alcohol poisoning, but other sources are saying she took five times the recommended amount of Benadryl.
Oh, God.
How do you OD on Benadryl?
Well,
that is a hell of an allergy attack right there.
The main active ingredient is the same thing in like a lot of sleep aids. So I know people do take
she
it.
She has AIDS, no, too?
Sleep aids.
Oh,
and
I'm
aiding
sorry.
Them to sleep. So, I mean...
Hmm.
I don't know if she was trying to knock herself out, but man.
Well, if she survives it, she won't get allergies for a while.
She can roll around in the grass.
Yeah.
Oh, why don't you two take it on the road? Jesus. That's brutal.
Just saying, she took a lot of Benadryl, that's all.
Dance with the Stars is back, and then last night, Jennifer Grey did very well for herself. Well, hell, she's from Dirty Dancing.
True.
Makes sense that she should be able to dance. At the bottom of the list, however, below Jennifer and Brandy and Kyle Massey and Rick Fox and Audrina Patridge and Kurt Warner and Bristol Palin and Florence Henderson and Michael Bolton and Margaret Cho were David Hasselhoff and The Situation.
At the bottom?
Out of a possible 30 points, David and The Situation, and to be fair, Margaret Cho also only earned 15 points out of a possible 30, so...
Wouldn't you think David Hasselhoff would do a lot better than that?
No.
I mean, he sings and dances.
He sings. He shakes his ass in leather leather pants. It's very different from being choreographed.
He's a performer. I don't know. I just think he'd be better.
Yeah. I think he'd be soberer. But that doesn't turn out to be the case either.
How is your theory playing out in the real world, Lisa?
Not good so far.
No.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Jerry Bruckheimer, legendary Hollywood producer, responsible for the CSI smash hit TV series and many, many successful films. He is 65 years old today. Author Stephen King, who is 63 and wrote another novel while I was announcing his birthday.
He is prolific.
That's how quickly he turns them out. Actor Bill Murray celebrates his 60th birthday today. Dave Coulier from Full House is 51 years old. Actor Cheryl Hines from Curb Your Enthusiasm celebrates her 45th birthday. Country singer Faith Hill turns 43. Luke Wilson is 39 years old today. Nicole Richie celebrates her 29th birthday. And Maggie Grace, our pal from Lost, she is 27 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. The return of Glee tonight. Certainly one of the most anticipated shows coming back on the new fall season. Starting tonight, we'll have actor Mark Salling on the program next hour.
Buck!
He is Buck. Thank you, Omar.
Oh, yeah. He's the man.
Wooing.
What do you mean?
What is the deal?
I love Glee.
What?
I've come around, Lisa.
What are you talking
Big
about?
Big Nose, Little Precious, The Dumb Jock, Little Stephen now, Hawking, Margaret Cho. It's let awesome.
Back, let me back up
White
for
Afro
listeners.
White Afro dude?
Exactly. White man Afro teacher guy.
Let me back up for folks who maybe haven't heard before, but all last season, Omar would come in. Eventually, it spilled out onto the air. We started having him doing Glee caps of each episode because we thought that would be torturous for him. But he just was – and this happens from time to time where you can't believe how popular something gets because you hate it so much. And it destroyed him that people were enjoying the show. And especially working here because, you know, very rarely do we all get on board one TV show. But Kevin likes Glee. I like Glee. Mike watches Glee. Lisa watches Glee. You know, Alex, Ralph, all of us were on board.
Yeah.
And you kind of
Kevin
felt like...
Kevin Smith?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody. Let me.
Everybody.
And you were like, why can't you see how lame this show is? Now, what was your biggest problem before the sudden turnaround and now you're a fan of Glee?
Everything.
Okay.
The music, the writing, which, that you know, that's all the show is. The unbelievable characters, the situations were lame, the cheesy
the
writing.
Is not on Glee,
first of all. No, that's not what I meant. But yeah, just everything. You know, the whole, oh, I'm going to throw a Slurpee in your face. Ooh, that's comedy there.
I like those Slurpees.
No, Lisa. But you know what? Now I'm looking forward to season two because I know they're going to do that again. And they're going to have... Britney Spears episode?
Yep,
I can't
that's
wait.
Right.
It's going to be awesome.
Sure. What? Are
it
you
is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
It's going to be the best.
You've actually almost talked me out of Glee.
Yeah,
like,
well,
I'm going to watch the first episode, but I may be off now.
You have to watch.
What are you talking about?
They're going to have Susan Boyle on this season, Lisa. Remember Susan Boyle?
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
Oh,
it's going to be the best. And
okay.
I bet you on every episode, they're going to learn an important lesson,
is
Lisa.
Is this irony?
No. But you know what? It's like I'm such a huge fan now that I have to get on the show.
You have to be on the show?
I have to be on the show.
Okay.
Okay. Because I'm going to. You know, you guys say, you know, funny haha radio, Omaroki, I can't sing. I really do have a beautiful voice.
No.
And now that I love the show so much, I did a little tribute / audition. You know, and I think this is really going to start like a Facebook movement, like get Omar on Glee.com at Facebook. And you know how Betty White got on SNL?
Yeah.
Right? They're going to do the same thing with me.
This is
okay.
Sad.
Yeah. So,
no. It's going to happen.
Really, really
is that, that's the song, music that's that a song that you have right here. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're telling me that you hated Glee and wanted us all dead for watching it. And now somehow in the summer, while we were waiting for season two to come on, you've completely turned around to the point where not only do you now love the show, but you want to be part of the show.
That's correct. Yeah. That was old 2010, bad Omar. This is later 2010, great Omar.
Yeah.
I've all seen right, the well, light. I am a Gleek. Gleeks forever, people!
Let's hear your audition / tribute to the TV show Glee returning tonight then on Fox.
I want to take a on Glee so freaking bad.
Oh, come on.
Little Precious, I really want to stab.
Yeah, Omar.
I want it to be over and off of my TV. This show's really awful and crappy. Oh, I hope everyone dies.
Yeah.
It gives me cancer of the eyes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I hate the show Glee. I despise. Oh, I swear. I hate white men out for teacher guy's hair. This show couldn't be crappier.
Yeah, I would have to kill that dude, but cuz he's such a dumb. All the douchey Glee kids, they're on Omar's hit list. I'm talking Michael Jackson saying, this is it. And everybody's gonna die when I take my stupid Big Nose and the gay kid. And then that dumb jock Finn, little Stephen Hawking, all dead. Now you can stop believing. I think I'll take a gun and shoot all the cheery uh-ohs. Now I'm gonna poison little Margaret Cho-Cho. Damn it, I can't believe Glee's such a hit. And damn sure sucks a lot more than Journey did. Yeah, go number two on the show is stupid. All throughout the show they just sing really gay music.
I hope everyone dies.
Once again, yeah.
It gives me cancer of the eyes.
Yeah, the show sucks.
I hate the show Glee, I despise. Oh, I swear. I hate white men Afro teacher guy's hair. The show couldn't be crappier. Blows, it blows.
Oh my God.
I wanna take
me on the show, right, guys?
Yeah.
Wow. Did you rhyme hair with crappy air?
That's right. Shows my writing skills too, Lisa. Come on, that'll get me on the show, right, guys?
We apparently were wrong about how bad your singing was.
Yep.
You turned me around. Well done, O. Last night was the return of Dancing with the Stars. I think they said it was the 11th season or something like that.
Is it really?
Crazy how many people have been on this thing. Let's face it, ABC knows who we want to see. There is a reason that they saved David Hasselhoff for last on the show last night. But one of the other contestants that we are going to be following very closely was introduced thusly last night, talking about from Jersey Shore, The Situation.
I'm Mike Sorrentino, otherwise known as The Situation, the man, the myth, the legend from Jersey Shore. My dancing background consists of many, many nights at the club with your girlfriend. No.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Situation joins us here on the Kevin DeBean Show, and we'll talk to the Hoff here in a moment, too. Mike, how are you?
Hey, yo, Mike, The Situation, Sorrentino over here from the Jersey Shore.
Yeah, you sure think you're funny, right?
Yo, I spent a lot of time with your lady, maybe your wife, your sister, your girlfriend, who knows? DWTS makes the girls DTF 24/7, LOL.
I'm not following what you're saying at all. But I do know that you and the Hoff, who we're going to talk to in a moment here, I do know that you guys were tied for the worst score of the night with only a 15 out of a possible 30. What's up with that?
Well, yo, if the haters get jealous on The Situation, I understand. I mean, I was kind of concerned that my abs were so cut up, so ripped, that I would actually cut my dancing partner. You know what I'm saying? She might need a band-aid right there because I'm so ripped. My muscles be pumping. You know what I'm saying? And if they're going to keep putting me and the Hoff, my good friend, my buddy, my wingman up in the clubs down at the bottom, I might have to initiate a last sitch effort.
Oh, dear God. Oh, God. Now you're starting to do it, too. Oh, my
uh-oh,
God.
Right. Uh-oh.
Here's the introduction that David Hasselhoff gave himself on Dancing with the Stars last night.
Hi, I'm David Hasselhoff. In the 80s, I was Michael Knight in Knight Rider. In the 90s, I was Mitch Buchanan in Baywatch. I'm still a big star in Germany.
Yeah, and he never lets us forget it. Hoff, welcome back to the Kevin DeBean Show. How are you, buddy?
Hi, how you guys doing?
Why is it that you're such a big star in Germany? Have we ever figured that out?
Because I love world wars.
What did you think? I'll ask you the same question I asked your friend, The Situation. What did you think about being dead last on the show last night?
It was amazing. And I really think that we got Hoff to a good start last night.
That's right.
Okay. But you guys were tied.
Hoff loves to dance.
Right. But you guys were tied for the worst score of the evening with just a 15.
Well, no, it's like golf. You want to get as low as possible. That's
no.
How you see how it is better.
You're looking at it, Hoff.
Yeah.
I don't think you two should be hanging out together, by the way. I don't think you're a good influence on one another.
No, we're in the clubs, man. We're fist pumping and DTF and RSO and BTO and GTO. And
right, all the O's.
That's right, H-O-double-F. And when he hits the clubs, sometimes he starts dancing and moving around in such a way, I call him a whooping Hoff.
Dear God.
Yeah. The Hoff loves to hop.
He does love to hop. All right, so you're paired up with a young lady named Kim Johnson, David Hasselhoff, and here's what you had to say on the show last night about the first time you laid eyes on your dancing partner.
First time I laid eyes on Kim, I said, magic.
Yeah.
Could you expand on that, please, Hoff?
Well, she made something appear in my pants. It was like magic.
Okay.
He's talking about a boner.
Yeah, no, we got that situation. Thank you.
That's right. I am situation. FBI, CIA.
Right.
Hey, ABC.
Lisa asked a great question earlier today on the show, Hoff, and that is, you've been an entertainer for so long, dancing and singing on stage in front of fans.
Yeah.
Why can't you carry a beat at all? Why can't you dance?
I am very drunk.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Here's one more clip from the show last night. This is you, the Hoff, talking about your first one of your first days of rehearsal.
So, wait. I'm sorry. I really am going to get this. Okay, so 7 and 8 and 1.
No. Cha, cha, cha.
Ah, good.
That's when you stay there.
I thought it'd be better today. I was wrong.
Yeah, I was wrong.
You do sound drunk.
You sound so drunk, huh?
What do you think? I was kidding?
I am
drunk all the time. I was confused because you said 7-8-1. And
right.
I may be drunk, but I know 7-8-9 is how it's supposed to go. Because
right,
I went to school.
Right, but she was going back to the beginning of the count for the dance, though.
In Germany, eins, zwei, drei.
That doesn't apply here. So either you
love the Nazis.
That's what I hear. Yeah. So situation, who do you think is going to be asked to leave the show tonight? Tonight they're actually going to kick somebody off after just one night.
I don't know who they're going to ask to kick off, but it's definitely not going to be my boy Hoff or me, the situation.
No,
you know,
way.
What I'm saying?
No, because way. We're in it to win it.
That's right. We're the real winners. That DWTS in MIA. It's like LOL, kid. WTS.
No, that's right. MLNOK PRWVTGG.
You know, you can't just throw random letters out there, Hoff. They have
Watch
to stand
me.
For something.
Watch me do it.
Clearly, for the Hoff, it was BYOB on DWTS.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. Quit stitching and moaning.
Oh, Jesus.
See?
Why, dog?
I need some more to drink.
Oh, no, actually, don't do that, Hoff. That's not helping yet.
That's better. Oh.
Okay, please don't.
Oh, this is a mess.
Oh, no.
My career is a mess.
Oh, it hits you so hard.
Dancing with Stars is a mess.
Situation, help your buddy David here. What's going on?
How can I help him? This is kind of funny.
WTF.
Indeed.
I'm all right. This is a mess.
You don't sound... this is not healthy.
No.
Hoff, you can't dance if you're drunk like this.
I can't dance anyway.
No. See, now it's... now it's just sad.
You're Lamar Odom.
Now it's just sad.
Oh, the average homeboy.
Oh, there it is.
Oh,
okay. No. Well, good luck to both you boys tonight, I guess.
All right, I got herpes.
What's it?
Nothing.
Talking to actor Mark Salling from Glee coming up next hour. Also, Mr. Skin on the program today. And Ralph, your boss from Sharktopus, Roger Corman, joins us later on today's Kevin and Bean Show, too.
The legend.
I know. He's something else. Speaking of Ralph, I'm glad you're in the studio here. I know that you are the person who found andvinyly.com.
Yes.
Tell me how this came about and why you're so into it.
Because it's a genius idea. There's a company in the UK that has announced they will press your ashes into a vinyl record when you go. When it's time for you to shuffle off this mortal coil, they will cremate you, and then you get your ashes, and they press it into a record. Like, you can play on a turntable, and you can put anything you want on it. You can put your own voice with your farewell message, F you, everybody, or something, you know, or you can put your last will and testament on there. Or, if you've got a favorite song, you can put that on there, and then you can spend the rest of eternity as your favorite song of all time, which
That's
is what my plan is.
That's very cool.
The website is andvinyly. See, it's kind of a play on andfinally.com. Jason Leach is the creator, and he joins us from the UK here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Jason. Thanks for jumping on. How are you, man?
Hi there. I'm good, thanks.
Sounds like a great idea. Tell me where the idea came from for andvinyly.
It's a mixture of a lot of things, but just briefly, it was sort of getting to an age where I realized perhaps I'm not invincible. I'm not totally convinced of that yet, but just in case, started thinking along those lines. And I actually heard about an American guy who had his ashes put in two fireworks for his family to enjoy, and I thought that was brilliant, and it kind of lightened my thoughts towards the whole thing. I've released a lot of records in my time. That's kind of what I do. I have record labels, and record sales, vinyl sales at least, were sort of plummeting due to the digital technology, and kind of all those things mixed together. I don't know. The idea popped into my head. I don't know how the brain works, but it came from that.
Well, I think it's a brilliant idea, as Ralph mentioned, because you get to leave something so personal behind to the people that you are leaving when you die. And that, I think, is what is probably going to attract a lot of people to it.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, you know, I mean, you'll see when you look at the site. There's a lot of light humor, but it's also fairly dark, because for me the whole sort of concept is something that generally people, I think, in the States the same as in the UK. I don't think people like thinking about it, and I for one for sure sort of stick it to the back of my mind. And you know, I just know that if I could have listened to my grandfather's sort of thoughts or comments or just play him, you know, would be something that would be, you know, really evocative and a great thing. So, I'm getting an amazing amount of interest at the moment for it. The site's been up for quite a while and there was a bit of interest at the beginning, but it got, it went sort of quiet. And very recently, I don't know where or how, but I seem to be getting a lot of interest in it.
Jason, what's the process like? How do you take someone's ashes and get them into a vinyl record?
Well, there's all sorts of stages involved. I mean, we don't want to be involved in people sort of sending remains around via the post.
Right.
It's far too much. There's a lot involved with all that. But I mean, you know, you check the areas. I have in certain countries, I have representatives who are either set up or are being set up. But I have a pressing plant in Central Europe that I use, and one in the UK that I've been using for years as well. And basically, it's just a case of when you make a record, you get a master made, which the person, if you're still alive when you decide you want to do this, is something, a process they can be fully involved in. They decide which audio content they want in there, and they can be involved with that as much as they like. They can come to the mastering of the record. They can actually receive a proof of the record and the cover, how it's going to be, whether it's going to have images or stuff you've written with your handwriting on it, or we even offer a painting by a friend of mine who's actually got painting in the National Portrait Gallery, so you can have a portrait done that will ultimately have your own ashes in the portrait. So you'll be in the record and in the cover. It's a very simple process actually to do. Obviously, it compromises somewhat the quality of a record, but you don't need to put very much in. It's more like a token sprinkling.
Yeah, symbolic, right?
Be used.
Can I put some in the sleeve too, so when people take the record out, some of me falls out all over them?
Well,
when
you play it? Could do that if you're messy. Yeah, that would be a good way to sum it up. Yeah.
You have really thought this through, Jason, and you're right on your site when you say you're putting the fun back into Funeral, because this is kind of lighthearted but also very personal. Now, I know you say you've been up and running for a while. Have you done records for people, or is this still mostly theoretical at this point?
Well, no, it's not. Well, I haven't actually done anyone yet, as it were, but I am in the process of going through the process of one, and it's not somebody who was arranged with obviously before they died, but it's a guy actually coincidentally who's actually from not far from where I am, and he found the site, and his mother, one of the last things she said to him was, look, if you can ever find anything useful to do with me, do it. And he loves the idea. He's been sending me the images. He's got lots of audio of her speaking, and he is so excited about it. I mean, it's great. I mean, you know, I knew people would like it. I know I do. I'm doing it. But I didn't expect to get sort of such, you know, excitement about it, really. And this guy is great. I mean, I've been asked by a few TV stations whether I can do documentaries, and he's up for doing all that, everything. He just thinks it's brilliant, and a lot of people, you know, he thinks will be like him. I mean, he's not a young chap himself. He just knew that his mother, his dear old mum, as he calls her, would have just absolutely loved it. So he's really into it. She will be.
Yeah, she'll be in it as well.
When you have spoken to people about this, do most people pick a song, like their favorite song, or a song they think best represents them, or are most people going the spoken word route, or what are they like?
Well, I mean, I encourage the spoken word because I think that's particularly great. I just love the idea of being able to hear someone's voice for forever, and the closed loops are great as well.
You're speaking from beyond the grave like that.
The Beyond the Groove, yeah, that's what we like.
Oh, my God. You know, we found an old answering machine tape with my dad's voice on it after he died, and it was such a wonderful discovery to know that we could continue to hear his voice. I totally get that.
Exactly, that's it, and it's perfect, and it's there for good, it's there forever. I mean, you know, the vinyl, the good old vinyl will survive a long time, and it's something, not everyone has turntables, but they're not hard to come by, they'll always be about.
Sure.
So it's a lovely way of having a personal record, you know.
And by the way, it's so interesting, by the way, this is the voice of Jason Leach on the phone from Britain right now. We're talking about andvinyly.com is the website. You can have your ashes pressed into a record. It's interesting, I hadn't thought about this before we talked to you, Jason, when you talked about maybe other people around you arranging it after you're gone. I mean, somebody could tape the eulogy at your funeral and have that pressed into a vinyl and then give it out to family members, you know,
absolutely,
who were there.
Well, look, you're giving me ideas as we speak, and this has happened a lot. And you know, we're open to all these sort of things. It's a difficult. I mean, a lot of people who are involved in music are obviously interested, and I can speak sort of personally from that point of view. And it's very difficult to actually sort of choose and an amazing process to think about what, you know, what you'd want to put on there. I heard something recently about a chap, an American guy, was talking about what they chose to put in on a spaceship that they sent sort of hopefully out into space, and they were talking about people choosing music or something that they say sums up the human race. And this is a kind of along the same lines, you know, what is it that means enough to you? And it's a, I just think it's quite a good process, a nice way of thinking about what
I happens, agree,
you know, or
you know,
you could, it's very positive, actually, rather than dark.
Or, Jason, you could get everyone in a room that you know and then finally tell them what you really think of them after all those years.
Absolutely. Well, absolutely. Well, I did have one suggestion from a guy who was saying that he wanted to maybe put a closed loop of him laughing at the end and subject the people who, if he did have some money at the end, they'd have to sit and listen to varying amounts of time of him laughing before they were allowed any of his will.
Let me... that's awesome. Let me spell the website out. It's And Vinyly. That's AndVinyly. AndVinyly.com is the site. Jason, great to talk to you. Best wishes for this business. I think
much.
You're really
can
on to something. I hope it works. Yes, go ahead.
One thing, you just spelled that wrong. It's one L, not two L's. In And Vinyly.
Yes,
AndVinyly.
All right. If I did that wrong, I apologize. Jason, thank you so much for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Have a great day, sir.
Thanks very much.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Rob is here with another look at the show biz beat on a Tuesday. What's going on, Rob?
Got plans for New Year's Eve?
God, no.
Well, you're a loser.
Oh, I knew that.
Here's an idea for you if you don't have your plans yet. Apparently, Jay-Z and Coldplay will be ringing in the new year at a brand new casino resort in Las Vegas, Nevada. Officials at the Cosmopolitan announced yesterday that the headliners will do individual sets that night and then perform together.
Hmm.
Concert will be shown on a 65-foot screen that overlooks the Vegas Strip as well. The $3.9 billion Cosmo is owned by Deutsche Bank and is set to open on December the 15th in the recently built City Center complex. So if you're looking to spend the New Year's in Vegas,
there you go.
You can see the brand new Cosmopolitan, which apparently is going to be a state-of-the-art, high-end resort there in Vegas, and then you get to see Jay-Z and Coldplay as well.
That's
that
cool.
That City Center, by the way, apparently is the most expensive private complex in America.
Would not surprise me.
Yeah, it's crazy. I'm going there this weekend, by the way.
All right.
Yeah.
Tell us how that goes.
I will.
For you, when you do that.
Oh, good for you!
Queen Latifah, it's been announced, will once again be the host of the People's Choice Awards. It's her fifth consecutive year.
She really likes that.
No, she doesn't, but they can't get anyone else to say yes. So they keep going back to Queen Latifah. It, of course, is the most BS of all the award shows, and it is not good for anyone.
No, it's not. It's a terrible, terrible. It's not just bad awards. It's a bad television
show.
It's
bad on every conceivable level.
Yeah.
And Queen Latifah's back, so you get to ignore them all at once, all at the same time, which is very convenient. And you have an extra $60,000 lying around? Well, if you do, you could hang for a day with Kristen Stewart and Robert Pattinson.
No.
Yes, you could be on the set of Twilight Breaking Dawn.
No.
This is an eBay auction that is for Stand Up to Cancer, a charity that had the big TV show on all the networks just the other day. They have promised that the auction winner from the eBay auction will not only get to spend a day on the set of Breaking Dawn, but also have the chance for a walk-on role in the movie.
Shut up!
Yes, you could be like a werewolf or a vampire or a like a puma,
dog.
Like a puma person or... Or like a dragon lady,
people.
Like all kinds of
dragon
creatures.
Lady.
Yeah, over there.
So
yeah. After 10 days of bidding, it had stalled at $40,000, but then a last-minute flurry of bidding, as happens on eBay as it gets down to the wire because people try to hold back on pumping the price up too much, it went for just over $60,000.
How's Taco Bell going to make money off of that?
Some poor girl had to sell her cats and her gothic clothes collection just to raise $60,000 so she could be near R-Pat and Kristen Stewart.
It's true.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jerry Bruckheimer, legendary Hollywood producer, is 65 years old today. Author Stephen King celebrates his 63rd birthday. Bill Murray, one of my favorite actors of all time, is 60 years old today. Dave Coulier from Full House turns 51. Cheryl Hines from Curb Your Enthusiasm is 45 years old. Faith Hill turns 43. Actress talk show host Ricky Lake is 42 years old.
The Rippin' and the Terran. The Rippin' and the Terran.
Her house burnt down just recently. Sad news, but apparently everyone's fine. Luke Wilson, actor, is 39 years old today. Nicole Richie celebrates her 29th birthday. And actress Maggie Grace from Lost. And what was that movie she did with Liam Neeson where she was his
Taken,
daughter?
Taken.
Yeah, she was in that.
Holy mackerel.
Oh, made me want to be some sort of Abu Dhabi prince buying white slaves.
Until Neeson came around.
Yeah, I know. Then those are all kinds of hell to pay. She's 27 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Let's catch up with Kevin and B-lister Haley, who we had on a few months ago after she was duped by a Bono imposter. Hey, Haley, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Good morning, boys. How are you?
We're fine. Did you ever get over that, the shame and embarrassment you felt when you realized it wasn't really Bono that you were hanging out with at the Ren Fair?
Just barely.
Okay. I know that for a while you were mad at us, as if we had anything to do with it. All we did was point out how blind you were.
Oh, no, totally. Well, it was so funny because I listened to your guys' podcast every day, and the one podcast I couldn't download off my iPhone was the one where you guys talked to The Edge.
How about that? As a big YouTube fan, I had to hear. Well, you wrote in a couple of days ago about something completely unrelated to that. What happened, little Haley?
Well, I actually work in an amusement park, and somebody from management had an epic pool party for Labor Day. It was very exclusive, and I actually had a friend from the UK here, and I didn't want her to be alone on Labor Day, so I vouched for her. I was like, she's super sweet, very cute, has an accent, what's not to like?
Yeah, sounds good so far.
Yeah, exactly, and I'm telling you, she's just absolute doll, so I got her in, and I was, you know, so excited to be there. The person who was hosting it is my friend, so long story short, I'm having a fantastic time. Everything comes to a screeching halt when my best friend runs up to me and goes, we have a problem. Okay, so what's wrong? Well, your friend just needs somebody in the groceries three times. And I'm sorry. What? Yeah, she just need so and so in the. I don't know what I can say on the air.
Balls is fine. Testicles. What happened? I mean, obviously the last thing you expected is that she was going to actually get into a fight at the pool party. But what prompted it?
Yes. Well, apparently a lot of my friends were enjoying the fact that she was British and, you know, hey, Brit, hey, this, say that, be my parent, blah, blah, blah. And I guess this guy was just kind of giving her a hard time. And she said in Britain, it's a cultural difference. You do it to your friends. It's
really
something guys. Yeah. Oh, good morning, Lisa. I'm
good
sorry.
Morning. That's okay.
Wait, in Britain, it's a cultural thing to kick your friends in the testicles?
She told me that if a girl kicks a guy in the balls, that it's something that you laugh about, or it's something that's like
after
no.
he gets off the ground.
Yeah, no kidding. After he stops weeping, Nope.com. By the way, I think she's having a laugh.
No,
so
well, I mean,
you're at the party. Your friend gets into a physical altercation. Does it turn into a big fight, or do you guys just have to leave real quick, or what happened next?
Well, obviously was alarmed because he becomes very irate. Now, the number of times varies between who says what, but it happened. And, you know, she doesn't know what's going on. Everybody's drunk. And he goes off, which I don't blame him.
No,
so,
not at all.
You know, people are coming up to her and going, hey, you might want to apologize. So she tries apologizing. He's not having it. People are threatening to punch her in the mouth.
Now it's a party.
Oh,
now it's a party.
Oh yeah. No, I, and of course, likewise, I vouched for my friends to be friendly to her and like make her feel welcome, which they're fantastic people. But again, Everybody was drinking. Right.
So the gist of this then, Haley, is you vouched for this woman who ended up ruining the party for everybody.
I don't know if it was ruining it, but definitely put a wah-wah.
Yeah, exactly. So what did your friend say to you that after they found out that, you know, what had happened and that it was your guest that had done this? Were you in hot water?
I felt like, I mean, I was really embarrassed, of course, because, you know, I didn't want to offend anybody, obviously. And like I said, I vouched for this person, and I invited her into the home of my friend. But really quickly, what I had emailed you guys about is the guy was dating an ex-dominatrix. And it got to the point where he was so angry, he was like, I'm going to wake up my girlfriend, and she's going to beat the living S out of you.
Oh, my God.
And like I said, like, I was kind of hovering around, like, okay, well, just tell me what's going on, because if I need to step in, I will. And I leave.
Hey, why didn't you just hustle her out of there?
Well, I think I thought that there was going to be a resolution. Like, I was like, oh, let's just all apologize and move on. But it obviously wasn't going in that direction. Yeah. I was also a little hazy, so it just got to the point.
Well, we saw your email, and we thought it, yeah, I know, these things escalate very quickly, especially when somebody gets kneed in the balls. We thought it might be interesting to throw this open to the Kevin and Bean listeners who have maybe also vouched for someone, and it has come back to bite them in the ass, because there's nothing worse than your reputation is on the line because of what somebody else did.
Yeah.
And that's what it sounds like. It doesn't sound like you're going to be inviting your cute, sweet British friend to any more pool parties, is the conclusion I'm drawing from this email.
I don't like having to flee a party out the front door before 11 o'clock at night.
No, that's not what you want to do. All right, Haley, good times. Glad you called. Thanks for coming on the air with us, too, all right?
Oh, thanks for having me, you guys. Have a great day.
You too.
Good to talk to you. Say hi to Bono, and here's what we're looking for. If you have vouched for somebody for a job, maybe as Lisa brought up earlier, for a blind date, this is somebody that you have paraded out in front of your friends or family or coworkers, and you've said, this person is all right. I'm staking my reputation on, go ahead and invite this person, date this person, have this person into your home, whatever it is, and then it went horribly wrong. That's the story we want to hear about. 1-800-520-1067. Your call is coming up next on the Kevin and Bean. Is your boyfriend, Mike? Why is he yelling at me? What's going on?
He's so dreamy.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It is 724. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. He plays the Puckasaurus. Mark Salling is the actor on Glee, returning tonight on Fox. We'll talk to him coming up next here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, listener Haley says, I vouched for my friend. She practically ruined the pool party by kicking another guest in the nuts. That's the topic on the table. Who did you vouch for and what did they do? 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with, let's start with Raymond. Raymond is on line 6 joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Ray. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, man?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
What's
hey,
up?
Lisa.
Hi.
Hi. Well, the story is my girlfriend used to work at a bar, and I had my birthday party there. I was partying with my friends. My friend beats up the owner, and she gets fired.
Oh, man.
Dude. Did you stay friends with that person afterwards, or was that the end of the road?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's a good buddy of mine. He's an old war buddy of mine. We're both Marines.
Well, usually you think you should be able to vouch for a Marine, but I guess it didn't work out for you, huh?
No, definitely.
Thanks for the call. Wow. Appreciate it. Let's try Eddie, line 7. Eddie, thanks for hanging on. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Who'd you vouch for? What happened?
Hi, guys. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
Well, I was 18. I was working for a carpet cleaning company, and I vouched for my uncle to get a job. A month into the job, I was actually off that day, and he went to elementary school to clean their carpet, and he ended up stealing 3 laptops.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and actually came home with them. I saw them, and then, yeah, the next day we were both fired from the job.
Oh, man. Sucks.
So you lost your job because you had vouched for him, even though you didn't have anything to do with him stealing stuff.
Yeah, but I was 18, so I was kind of, I think I was a little bit more embarrassed on both of us, so I just took it, really didn't put up a fight, and all right, thank you.
Yeah, that's tough. Man. What's your relationship been like with your uncle since then?
Since then, it's been a little tough. I applied for LA County Sheriff, and he actually cost me a job with that, too, because he has a record. So,
oh, dude.
Yeah, it's not really that good, but yeah.
Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. Let's try Chris. Got another pool party story on line 2. Hey, Chris, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened?
Morning, gentlemen. Lisa May.
Hi, Chris.
I brought this girl to I was interested into a pool party, and then finding out she's a raging alcoholic and ends up throwing up in the pool.
Oh, man.
God.
Throwing up in the pool ruins it for everybody.
Yeah, especially when there's people in it.
Oh, my God. How did they scramble out of that water like it was a shark?
It looked like a bunch of rats trying to just get out of a pool. It was just, they were scrambling, yelling, and then she promptly passes out. So we do the next, you know, most responsible thing, put her in a cab and send her back home.
Oh, I thought you were going to say put her in a dumpster and she was never heard from again. Okay, wow.
Well, that was plan B.
Tough story. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's try Mike line 3. Hey, Mike, thanks for calling the Kevin to meet you. Who'd you vouch for? What happened?
I vouched for a buddy of mine to a dorm party when I was in college, and he got drunk, put a knife to my buddy's throat. Oh. They stopped him. He started chewing on the knife. They flipped out, and then he jumped out the window, passed out in the middle of the campus, and the college campus police caught him. They thought he got beat up, so they called his parents. His parents called my parents, but I was drunk in the bathroom blowing bubbles in the toilet.
It's just a great night for everyone.
I want to party with you, cowboy. Wow.
I was back in the day. Not anymore.
Yeah.
You know,
it hurts too much.
I have often said it's not a party until your friend is chewing on a knife. I can't count how many times I've said that. All right, dude. Thanks for the call. Bye-bye. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Our old friend Mr. Skin joins us next hour. Also, the great Dave Navarro coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. Lisa, you know what tonight is?
Yes,
tonight's
I
Glee.
Do.
Tonight yes. is the return
Yay!
Of Glee.
Woo-hoo!
I know you're a Gleek, and I know you were sad all summer long thinking about how the kids are going to recover from losing at regionals at the end of next season. But let's find out. Mark Salling is on the phone. He, of course, is Puck on the show, returning tonight on Fox at 8. Hey, Mark, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, man?
I'm good. How you doing, Bean?
We're doing great. Great to talk to you. I was very interested. First of all, huge Glee fans, all of us here on the show, but I'm sure you hear that all the time. I was very interested to see your story and doing some research for talking to you today to find out that it wasn't really even acting that brought you to Southern California from Texas. It was music all along, right?
Yeah. It was. You know, I went to music school out here and trying to break into that business. So, yeah.
That's interesting. So you're growing up in Texas, and you want to make it as a musician. And you moved out to L.A. to go to that music school, or is that something you decided to do once you got out here, trying to make it in bands and stuff?
Yeah, I just decided to head out west after high school, and I got out here, and shortly thereafter, I found that music school, and I enrolled. So yeah.
That is that's a tough way to go, man. That is an uphill climb when you're trying to make it in the music business in Southern California. Just trying to get good, first of all, and trying to get anyone to listen to you. I mean, I imagine that's a lot of years of real discouragement.
Oh man, trying to make it in the music business is kind of a pipe dream to be an artist at least, and coming out to Hollywood without any, you know, fan base or following, and trying to get people to go to your show all the time. And it's a grind. I'm telling you now.
And it couldn't be any better then as a platform to get people to know who you are and pay attention to your music. And I know you got a record coming out October 12th to end up on a show like Glee. How did you even get it? I mean, that's pretty big time being a star on a network TV show.
Yeah, I just, you know, answered an ad on Craigslist, and, you know, here I am. So, no.
I don't think that's what happened at all, Mark. I think you're exaggerating slightly there.
I mean, most people...
It comes off Craigslist, well, some stuff, but... No, it's a great platform, and I'm very honored to be part of it. And you know, if it's the only thing I ever do, I'll be all right with that.
Yeah. Now, here's an interesting thought. I mean, the kind of music that you do on Glee is very specific pop type music, and it, you know, obviously it's a Glee setting. That's very different from the kind of music I imagine you're making on your own, right?
Yeah. Short answer, yes.
Long answer, you know, is what are you doing?
Well, thank you.
But you're just hoping that people will see you on the show, like you on the show, and then at least be willing to, hey, I know that dude. Let me at least listen to his music and see what it's all about.
I mean, that would be ideal, but you know, it's fine. You know, it doesn't have to. I'm still gonna pound the pavement and try to get a following. You know. The grassroots way for my music, you know, and anything else that comes from Glee, I appreciate, but I'm not gonna get lazy. So,
Right. October 12th, by the way, Mark's album is coming out. It is called Pipe Dream. And is the plan 26. When you're not...
I'm sorry, I gotta correct you there. It's the 26th.
Oh, 26. Okay. I apologize. They gave us wrong information. So so is this the type of thing that you're also then going to go out and try to play live when you're not doing the TV show too?
Boy, I would love to. With the hour I have free a week, I would love to do it. Yeah.
Yeah, that has got to be something about doing a show like Glee. Even though it's a large cast, you are a major member who's in a lot of scenes. I would imagine some very, very long days on the set making this show.
Good Lord, you have no idea. Yes, very long.
Did you get some time off? There was some hiatus between the end of filming season one and season two, though.
Yeah, we had about a month and a half, and I think we're shooting 26 episodes before we have another break.
Wow!
So. Wow!
That's
unbelievable.
Brutal. Yeah. Sorry,
how were Christmas? But yeah. It must have been so crazy when Glee took off as big as he did. I mean, it seems like there's so few shows that come along and from episode one, everybody's talking about it. I mean, look, you're lucky enough to get on a show, even luckier if it makes it onto the air. But when you guys woke up the next day and realized that it was already on its way toward becoming a phenomenon, it must have just been shocking to you.
Yeah, I mean, it was a really, you know, it wasn't overnight. It certainly didn't feel like overnight. We had shot 13 episodes before they had even aired, and so we were just, it felt like we had been doing it forever, and we believed in the show so much, and we're just hoping that people would get it, and you know, and when they did, it was really rewarding, and it certainly didn't feel overnight, and feels like we're in about season four right now, to be honest.
And then, you know, on top of that, the gravy is then you get all those Emmy nominations and you're winning Golden Globes awards and everything like that. I mean, it seems like it's hard to find somebody who doesn't love Glee. Where do we pick up the action tonight? What happens on the season premiere tonight that you can tell us about, Mark?
My character dies right at the beginning.
Oh, that's a real shift in tone right there for the show.
Buy my record. I'm out. We pick up. We had lost, obviously, at regionals and thought the club was going to be disbanded, but it got saved at just the last minute. This is all in the finale. And then tonight we pick back up and trying to, like, you know, come back stronger than ever and recruiting new members, Charisse being one of them, Court Overstreet being another. And you know, we have a new football coach that is kind of Sue Sylvester's rival now, and you know, my character's kind of back up to his old tricks, except he doesn't have to worry about a baby anymore and trying to prove himself the queen. So there you go. And then I die.
And then you die, right? You were probably happy to get rid of the baby, happy to get rid of the mohawk. I imagine things are looking good for Puck.
No, I can't complain.
The album called Pipe Dreams comes out on October the 26th. Get all the information at marksellingmusic.com. The return of Glee tonight at 8 o'clock on the Fox Network. Mark Selling plays Puck on the show. Mark, thanks a lot for being on the Kevin and Bean Show, man. We enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Nirvana on the way. Also some Phoenix, Pearl Jam, and Linkin Park. Next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat now on a Tuesday. What's going on, Rob?
Sharktopus Week! Ah! It's Sharktopus Week!
A poof.
Nope. There we go. Sharktopus Week. All week long, we're celebrating all things Sharktopus. Half shark, half octopus, all monster.
That's what I hear.
All will be carved. White meat. Dark meat.
We're having Roger Corman on in just a few minutes. Later this week, star of Sharktopus, Eric Roberts,
woo-hoo,
will be stopping by the studio.
Yeah, Eric.
To meet me, say, who are you, and what do you have to do with my film?
We didn't really share any scenes together.
Oh. You didn't even see him at all?
No. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
But we shared scenes with the Sharktopus, which is really all that matters in a movie called Sharktopus.
True.
Anyway, we're talking about it, and we were talking about it yesterday, and I've got a bunch of these limited edition, hard to find, very collectible. I'm thinking on eBay, these are going for $2,000-$3,000. That's what I'm guessing.
You could take these into Pawn Stars. They'll stop the shop.
Absolutely.
They'll just close the place down.
They'll get Chumley to come over and write you up right there on the spot. It is the collectible Damn You Sharktopus pin from Sci-Fi. The official pin of Sharktopus. I've got 5 to give away if you'd like to own one as you're watching the movie this Saturday night at 9 o'clock on Sci-Fi. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. First 5 callers to get through, we'll take down your address, and I will ship you off a Sharktopus button, and you'll be the envy of all your friends.
This is a personal item, by the way, from the Ralph Garman collection.
That's right. There's no more of these, by the way.
Yeah, it's not like these are made. They're in the stores. You can buy them online or anything like that. I mean, these are yours.
No, at Comic-Con, Sci-Fi gave me a bag full of these, and so I figured who better to share them with than the Kevin and Bean listeners. Who has stood by me more on my long journey to Sharktopus than these folks? So, thank you so much. Speaking of movies, well, I know we have a lot of wannabe screenwriters out there. And every year I like to make this announcement because it's a great opportunity if you're a struggling writer. And believe
me, I need to go.
out of everybody in the entertainment industry, I feel for writers more than anyone, I think. Because it is the hardest nut to crack. I mean, you can be a good-looking person with not much talent and show up at an audition and actually land something in television or film or in a TV commercial. But writers just slave away in front of a blank screen all day long and knock out this work, and they put their lives and their blood and their sweat and their tears into these projects, and often it's just so hard to get anybody to read it. That's why I like to talk about Scriptapalooza every year. Scriptapalooza is an awesome opportunity for screenwriters and TV writers to get their scripts read by industry professionals, people who actually purchase scripts for production, and then whoever wins the competition has a guarantee that their script will be produced. So, excellent opportunity. The deadline is October 1st this year. So I wanted to get the information out there. So if you have a script laying in your drawer, you can get it into the Scriptapalooza people. For more information, go to Scriptapalooza. It's written just like it sounds. Scriptapalooza.com. And you can see all the details there. But they've got a category for film, for television. It's an excellent way to get your break. And a lot of screenwriters who are working now actually got their big breaks by entering this competition. So I recommend it highly. Viral video star Antoine Dotson.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You remember Antoine, don't you?
Sure.
Well, there's a rapist in Linkin Park. And then, of course, legendarily, his interview on the news became a auto-tuned song by the Gregory Brothers. Well, the Gregory Brothers are not only talented, but they're also generous. They told Antoine that they would give him half of all the proceeds of posting the would-be rapist out in Linkin Park song on iTunes. They posted it, put it for sale, promised him half of the earnings, and they were true to their word. And this comes from Us Magazine. Antoine says, "We just bought a house."
Nice! Dude.
That's so cool.
He bought a house with the proceeds. He said,
"Wow.
We are so excited. It's for my whole family. And these are new houses that have just been built. So run and tell that, homeboy."
Yeah.
He said, "I can't believe this. Even now, my life is moving forward. I'm at a standstill in my mind. I'm like, wow, all this is happening just off of a news interview." So a little instant fame and fortune, actually doing some good for somebody for a change. So congratulations to Antoine and his family.
Must be so weird for them to see the Antoine Dodson tattoos that are out there and all the various things that have resulted from that interview. I mean, it was a terrifying few seconds for his sister when the guy crawled into bed, but nobody got hurt, and nothing but good has come from them since this whole thing happened.
And if it was going to happen, it was going to happen regardless. So at least there is a positive side to it, you know,
right.
Regarding the outcome, because otherwise, if this hadn't happened, she just would have been horribly attacked and scared to death, and they would still be living in the projects. So.
Last week, when this came out, did you guys play any of the heavy metal cover of the Antoine Dodson Run and Tell That song?
I've heard it. We did not play it on the
air,
no.
We did not play it, no.
Do you have time? Would you like to hear just a second of it here, Ralph?
Sure. Maybe that's why we didn't play it. Because that's what it sounds like.
I find it very entertaining.
And congratulations to Eddie Vedder. He finally made an honest woman out of his longtime girlfriend, Jill McCormick, over the weekend. Us Weekly reports the Pearl Jam lead singer tied the knot in Hawaii. And there were a few big-name guests along the way. Jack Johnson apparently was there to help celebrate, as was Sean Penn.
Oh.
The couple has two daughters, Olivia and Harper Moon. And this is Eddie's second trip to the Alder, but he says now he's a better man. So he thinks he can make this marriage work. So congratulations to Eddie.
Imagine the energetic conversation between Jack Johnson, Eddie Vedder, and Sean Penn.
Yeah. It'd be like the Three Stooges, wouldn't it? They'd just be chaos would ensue. Hit each other over the head and smashing cake in their faces and stuff. Oh, what a party.
Where's Belichick?
Yeah. Hayden is really in bad shape.
I know. Where's Puck from Glee?
We're going to raise some money for the charity. Yeah, I'd really appreciate it if you did that. Hey, you guys, you want to hear Bubbly Toes again?
Very exciting reception.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Jerry Bruckheimer, powerhouse in the entertainment industry on television and in theaters. 65 years old today, Billy Murray. One of my favorites of all time. I wish he worked more.
You must
more.
Love him if you call him Billy.
I wish he worked. Listen who's talking. The guy who makes everybody's nickname out of every name.
Yeah.
Bill Murray's 60 years old today. Stephen King is 63. Dave Coulier.
Yeah!
From Full House. And, little trivia, also the inspiration for You Ought to Know by Alanis Morissette. Not a lot of people know that. But he was the one who screwed her over, man. And she would do things to him in a theater, and it just wasn't enough, man. Mm. He still walked away. He's 51 years old. Cheryl Hines of Curb Your Enthusiasm is 45. Where's the bell for Cheryl Hines, by the way?
I agree.
Where's that been all day long?
We discussed that.
Who we? Who we discussed?
Here in the studio when you were out.
In the studio.
And I said she's very attractive.
And was I involved in this discussion?
Apparently not, because we were just Bean and Lisa taking their act on the road.
She's cute, but she's not
She's hot.
She's not hot. She's not pretty, even. She's
no,
attractive.
No, she was in studio about 3 months ago.
She was in studio, and she's pretty.
She's hot.
And I'm
sexy.
Saying Belle.
Yeah.
Look, if these two guys are saying Belle, you have to Belle.
There was an immediate reaction in the pants when Cheryl Hines walked in. I think that deserves a Belle.
Under protest. There you go.
Noted. Ricky Lake is 42 years old today. Now, where's the bell for her? Yeah, see, that's Bean's problem. It's Betty White and Ricky Lake all day long, but no Cheryl
Lake.
Hines.
All day long, I'm not hit. I'm just doing that for comedy's sake. But I'm sorry, you guys are making a big mistake on the Cheryl Hines.
Oh!
You're being played off. You're excluded. Nicole Richie's 29, Maggie Grace is 27. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll talk to Ralph Garman's other boss, the producer of Sharktopus, Roger Corman, coming up later this hour. Right now, though, a segment I like to call
Kevin's Worst Nightmare.
You know, last week on the show, we had in the motivational speaker, I think his name is Tom Willits. Is that right? Willits is his name?
Yes.
And he's a guy who's he's out there basically saying, look, I was born with no arms. However, that doesn't mean I'm going to lay around the house and do nothing. I'm going to get out there and I'm going to show what can be done. It's all about what you can do, what you can't do. And, of course, Kevin was very uncomfortable with that guy. Well, he's on vacation this week, so he's missing his new worst nightmare, which is a Frenchman named Philippe Croissant. Who lost all of his limbs in an electrical accident, Lisa.
God.
No, they had to amputate his arms and his legs.
Oh, my God.
Now, I'm sorry. If that's me, I'm just not getting off the couch. I get a remote control for my TV that I can operate with my mouth, and that's how I live out my remaining years. This guy is out there doing everything. And the reason he's in the news is he just swam the English Channel.
No way.
Yes way. And we said we got to find out more about this. We asked producer Alex to line up Mr. Philippe Croissant, who joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Philippe, can you hear us okay?
Oh, my God.
Philippe, are you actually in the English Channel right now? Okay, is there any way you can maybe raise your head above the waterline so that we can hear you a little better?
Yes, is this better?
Yeah, that's much better, Philippe. Thank you so much.
Hello, Mon Ami. How are you today?
Well, we're doing great, Mr. Croissant. Thank you so much for joining us. So you swam from England to France, even though you have no arms and no legs.
That is correct. That's where I swam.
Okay.
From there to the other place you mentioned.
Now, a lot of people are having trouble visualizing this. How are you able to swim if you have no limbs?
They put their, flippers on my legs.
Okay.
And I use my body like a porpoise. I am constantly flailing my body through the water.
I see. Oh, okay. Now, why did you think that it was important to do this trip, to make this journey on the English Channel?
I wanted to show many disabled friends who are using me as inspiration to what their goals are in life.
I see. Okay. So you did it to inspire other people to show that you can't give up. I know things are difficult, but just press on.
Exactly. I have a friend of mine with no arms, no legs, who hangs on a wall. His name is Art.
What?
He is very inspired by what I do.
Why would he hang on the wall, sir?
I'm sorry, F you.
Because his name is Art, okay. Mike. That's
I'm
why.
I'm sorry.
All right, so you did it for Art then.
Yes. Also, I have a friend of mine with no arms and no legs who lays on a porch in front of your door named Matt.
Wow, is it unusual to have so many friends with no limbs?
I don't believe so. We all hang together.
I see. Okay.
I'm sure you go on little radio luncheons with your little radio friends.
Well, I guess, that's true. When you put it that way, that's true. Yeah, sure.
My girlfriend was waiting for me when I finished swimming at the English Channel. She has no arms and no legs and lays on the beach. Her name is Sandy. there was another friend of mine who followed me through the channel with no arms, no legs on a fishing boat. His name is Ross.
Yeah. You got a lot
another
of friends
friend
with no
of
arms,
mine was swimming in the Gulf Shore in your country.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Down in Louisiana when the oil slick was happening.
Oh,
he had no arms or legs. He was covered with oil. His name is Derek.
Oh.
Wow, Derek is a new friend. I hadn't heard about him.
There's another friend of mine who was trying to swim the channel with no arms and no legs, but he did not go anywhere. His name is just Bob.
Nice. Kind of stuck out there in the water, sure.
Yeah. Another friend of mine wanted to swim. He had same accident as me.
Oh, no.
He was electrocuted and lost his arms and legs. He was also French. His name is Shock.
Yeah! Well done, Philippe. Well done.
Let's get out on that walk.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Legendary Oscar-winning Roger Corman, director and producer of this week in Sci-Fi Channel's Sharktopus, joins us coming up here on The Kevin and Bean Show. You know, Lisa, when you start thinking about the greatest people that ever lived, you know, the names that get thrown about, you hear, you know, Jesus and maybe Gandhi is in the discussion.
Sure.
I think those are all skinsulting, though, because I think clearly Mr. Skin, ladies and gentlemen, is the greatest human that ever lived. MrSkin.com. For $1 a day, you can see the naked scenes of every movie ever imaginable. And Mr. Skin joins us back on The Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Mr. Skin, how are you, dude?
Doing great, Bean. I was just heard you say about Roger Corman. Six of his movies have had great nudity, so I'm a big fan of this.
And he is a big fan of huge knockers. That's what we know about Roger Corman, right?
Yes. Him and I have a lot in common.
Legendary for that. Well, Mr. Skin, you continue to come up with new ways to categorize all the women. And what's great about actresses in Hollywood is every single day there's new ones being announced. I thought of you the other day when I saw that article about the next Sarah Silverman movie that she's got full frontal nudity in it, too.
Yeah, they were talking about that. We mentioned that in our radio prep and our blog, and it looks like there's good. You know, here's the thing about that, though. Whenever I hear that a movie's going to have a great nude scene or going to have a great sex scene, it's good to know. I'm excited about it, but I always wait until my skin scouts could actually see a finished product before I get excited, because so many times you hear rumors about an actress that's going to do this great nude scene and it turns out to be a bit of a disappointment. I think like Megan Fox and Jennifer's Body is a great example. There were all
these
rumors that she was going to have nudity and it didn't happen. There's a movie called Black Swan that's going to be out either late this year or early next year. It's a Darren Aronofsky film about ballet dancers, and Mila Kunis and Natalie Portman were supposed to have this super hot scene. They actually do at the hour and 8 minute mark. Our guys saw it at the Toronto Film Fest, though there's no nudity in it. So we're always a little cautious when we hear these rumors.
So what you're saying is you can't take the word of all your skinformants.
Exactly.
Now, Mr. Skin is on today because he has a fall television preview. As you know, this is the time of year every September where the new shows are unveiled on the networks all across the TV dial. And I know you have several that you want to mention. I have to ask you first up, and maybe you've already been asked about this, the unbelievably hot redhead that Steve Buscemi was having sex with in Boardwalk Empire. What do we know about her, Mr. Skin?
As they've alerted, we know a lot about her. We're big fans of her at our website. And she's been naked in quite a few movies, and you know, Boardwalk Empire is the one show where they're saying not only is this the best new show of the year, but this could be the best new show since The Sopranos. I mean, that first episode was directed by Martin Scorsese, and
Yeah, this Paz de Huerta. She's actually from the United States, believe it or not. She's she's been naked. I think she's been in 7 movies now, including Boardwalk Empire, where she's naked. So we're huge fans of her. We've known a lot about her. We knew she was going to be in this series, and their first episode, typical HBO, great full frontal nudity.
Exactly. Now, Kelly MacDonald, one of my favorite actresses. I think she's so beautiful, and I love watching her on screen. How about her? Has she been naked?
Oh, yeah. She did a movie called Train Spotting that you might remember.
Oh, yeah, with Ewan McGregor.
Yeah, exactly. That came, you know, that was probably about, 10 or 12 years ago, and she went full frontal in that. She was also the girl in No Country for Old Men, a great movie by the Coen brothers. She was the wife of Tommy Lee Jones, and
that's
she's been
right.
in a few things. She's a great actress, and you're going to see a lot of her on Boardwalk Empire, and that's good, fine with me, because I think she's a great actress and very, very beautiful.
We're talking to Mr. Skin here on the Kevin Amin Show. You can go to MrSkin.com for just $1 a day. You can see all the scenes in all the movies of any actress you ever want to see naked. Last night, of course, there's so many shows debuting these days, it's tough to watch them all, but I did make time to watch Hawaii Five-0 on CBS.
Yeah.
It premiered last night. That Grace Park is pretty hot. How about her? Has she been naked?
You know, unfortunately, she never has, and she's the main girl from this show, and she was also, people know her from Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, yeah.
And, unfortunately, she's never done a nude scene. Now, one of the girls that's going to have a regular recurring role is Michelle Borth. You'll see her in upcoming episodes. And she was on Tell Me You Love Me, which was one of the greatest series ever on HBO that was nonstop nudity and sex about couples and therapy. But unfortunately, no Grace Park nudity, but you're going to see some of the girls from the show are going to be nude, you know, have been nude. But also, you're going to see a lot of great bikini action on Hawaii Five-0, and I'm just happy they kept that theme song. It's one of the great theme songs of any TV show.
They kept the theme song, and they kept Book 'em Dano, so what else do you need?
Yeah, that's all you need. You know, that show was actually on from 1968 to 1980. I forgot that it had that long a run. 12 years is amazing.
Yeah, no kidding. You don't see very many that last that long. Let's talk about some of the new shows that are on tonight that people can check out for the first time. There's a show called No Ordinary Family that debuts tonight on ABC. That's got a pretty well-known cast headed up by Michael Chiklis from The Shield, who we never want to see naked. How about the ladies in this one, Mr. Skin?
Well, what's interesting, this is about the parents of a family that gained superpowers after a plane crash in the Amazon. But his wife on this is going to be played by Julie Benz. And if you guys, your audience knows the TV series Dexter, they'll know her as Reed. On Dexter, and she had some great nudity in Dexter. She also did a movie in the 90s called Dark Drive, which is one of the best movies for nudity of the 90s. Also, very interesting, one of the girls playing their daughter on this is Autumn Reeser, and if you're a fan of Entourage, you know her as Lizzie Grant. She's the one that gave Ari all that trouble when she left his agency. And by the way, Bean, Autumn Reeser did a movie this year called The Big Bang, and she gets naked during a sex scene, and that was her nude debut. So very exciting news from Autumn Reeser. She's going to be one of the stars of No Ordinary Family.
That's fantastic. She is so, so pretty. All right, here's one. I can't imagine she's been naked because she seems so squeaky clean. Fox is debuting Running Wild tonight, a show I'm very much looking forward to. The great Will Arnett, of course, from Arrested Development is in. But he's with Felicity's Carrie Russell. How about her?
Well, interesting enough, right before she hit it big on Felicity in 1997, she did this kind of art house movie called 8 Days a Week. And in the movie, she, in the opening, it was really almost like the opening credits, she goes for a, let me put it this way, it's one of the best wet t-shirt scenes I've ever seen. She's wearing a white tank top, no bra, running in a sprinkler and in the front lawn. And technically, it's not nude, but it's as close to nudity as you could get, and it goes down. I still think Jacqueline Bisset in the Deep's the greatest wet t-shirt scene of all time, but this is the top 5, and you definitely have to check it out. And, yeah, she's going to be Will Arnett's significant other in Running Wild, which debuts tonight.
And you wouldn't discriminate against her on Mr. Skin. I mean, a wet t-shirt is good enough to get on the site, right?
Oh, yeah, we love it. In fact, when I launched my website in 1999, this was one of those. This was a movie not a lot of people had seen, and when I had this at my site the day we launched, and it was one of the most popular pages because she then was popular on the TV series Felicity. So this wet t-shirt scene has meant a lot to my career, B.
All right, two more I got to ask you about, Mr. Skin.
Yeah.
I think Maggie Q is unbelievably hot.
Yes,
I think she's Hawaiian, right? Mostly Hawaiian, maybe?
Yeah, she's right, and she she's on this. She stars in Nikita on the CW. It already premiered. It's on Thursday nights, and what's interesting about her is she did these two movies in Hong Kong which I don't know what the heck she was doing in Hong Kong, but it's not anything you'd walk into your video store and find, but we tracked them down. One translates into Naked Weapon. The other translates into Manhattan Midnight. Both translate into Great Toplessness from Maggie Q. So people might know her from Live Free or Die Hard, the Bond movie, but now she's the star of Nikita. They're doing a lot of advertisements for this movie. Hopefully guys will really get to know her because she's beautiful. In fact, the first episode, she was either in underwear or a bikini the whole movie or the whole show. So she's looks great, and you can see her naked in a couple of Hong Kong flicks that we have at our website.
Fantastic. All right, last one for you, Mr. Skin. Again, MrSkin.com is the website. I'm a couple episodes behind, but I've been watching The Big C over there on Showtime that comes on after Weeds. Laura Linney, who I've always thought is very, very pretty, she's walking around in a robe, and it almost always pops open. She almost loses her boob about 20 times the first two episodes. Does she get naked on this show that you know, or has she been naked in other movies?
Yeah, it was. Well, she's had a few brief nude scenes on The Big C. There are a few episodes into that. I think it premiered back in August. But here's the thing, Bean. You got to go check out a movie from 2000 called Maze that Laura Linney did. At the 31-minute mark, she goes full frontal for what seems like an eternity in perfect lighting, and it is one of my favorite redhead full frontal scenes of all time. So Laura Linney in Maze is quite frankly amazing as far as full frontal scenes go. She's had brief nudity on The Big C, but Maze is by far the best place to see Laura Linney naked.
That tip alone made it worth me getting up and coming into work this morning, Mr. Skin. All right, MrSkin.com, the greatest website from the greatest human on earth. You won't regret it. It's less than a buck a day to see all the nudity we've talked about and so much more. Mr. Skin, thanks so much for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show, man. We enjoyed it.
Thanks, Bean. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Right now, Ralph, would you like to introduce our very special guest that's on the telephone?
He has been a legend in movie making for about 50 years now. The unofficial Roger Corman Film School, by the way. Some of their graduates, let me just name you some people who got their big break from Roger. Francis Ford Coppola, Martin Scorsese, Jack Nicholson, James Cameron, Robert De Niro, Peter Bogdanovich, Jonathan Demme, Sandra Bullock, all got their first big break from Roger Corman. Now you can add Ralph Garman to that list.
Come on, ladies and gentlemen.
Sir Sharktopus, Roger
Sharktopus!
Corman.
Sharktopus! As a creep show creature with a double feature, a freak ass beast, walls bless you, beast. Sharktopus! Debuts this Saturday night at 9 on the Sci-Fi Channel. The great Roger Corman joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Mr. Corman. How are you, sir?
Call me Roger, and let me predict, Ralph, that I expect you to surpass all our previous graduates.
Me too, Roger. That's my plan.
Roger, we had such a great time chatting with you at Comic-Con last month, but thanks for making some time to come back on. We're just days away from Sharktopus. Do you still, after all this time in show business, you still get excited about your movies getting out there and being seen by the public for the first time?
I do. We're playing on the Sci-Fi Channel. I always like to have the films play in theaters if possible, but right. The economics of films today indicate that we're with Sci-Fi, and I'm very happy to be with them.
Although, of course, you are debuting this weekend down in Austin, Texas, right, for the big film festival.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. The Austin Horror Film Festival or something like that. So we are playing in a theater, I think, Friday night before it goes on Sci-Fi on Saturday.
Now, Ralph, of course, you've been an actor for a long time. That's what brought you to Los Angeles, like so many others. You've been in lots of TV and movies productions, but this one's different, a little bit different, how you ended up being in Sharktopus, right?
Yeah, I got this pretty much just by shooting off my big fat mouth. I was talking about how much I liked the concept of the film and the title of the film, and the more I talked about it, the more Sci-Fi thought it would be a good idea if I maybe took a little role in it. And they talked to Roger, and Roger was kind enough to give me the okay. And when I first met you, Roger, I remember you saying how thankful and lucky you consider yourself that I could actually act when I was actually in the movie.
Well, actually, Ralph, I've been wondering. Sharktopus killed you in a rather grisly fashion.
Yes.
He leapt out of the water, wrapped his tentacles around you, and pulled you back into the water.
That's true.
Do you think you did anything to provoke him?
Yeah, I think all that damn you Sharktopus stuff on the radio really cheesed him off. That's what I think.
That could be, or maybe he got jealous because Shandy was dancing next to you wearing a bikini about the size of a postage stamp.
Yeah.
And maybe his idea was to get rid of you and really go after Shandy.
Roger's referring to my co-star in my scenes, Shandy Finnessy, former Miss USA, who is wearing the tiniest of bikinis in my scenes. And I doubt you will even notice me, given how beautiful she is.
The Sci-Fi Channel in recent years has really brought the B-movies back with, you know, Super Gator and Dino Shark and all the other movies. But, Roger, you were around for the kind of the original wave of this sort of movie. These were very, very popular movies back in the 40s and 50s, right?
Yes. As a matter of fact, the first picture I ever made was called Monster from the Ocean Floor. So we haven't strayed too far.
We haven't. You know, also, Roger, I wanted to make sure to give some credit to your lovely wife, Julie, who really was so tremendous in putting together the Sharktopus production. What a great partner you've got there.
Yes, we co-produced the picture together, and she sort of got us over the rougher parts, particularly the Mexican shooting.
Yeah. They were shooting on a shoestring budget down there in Mexico. It wasn't a lot of money, but from what I understand, what shows up on the screen is pretty impressive.
We're actually very pleased with it. The special effects of the Sharktopus in particular really look like a much bigger film.
Yeah, the Shark gives a better performance than I do, Roger. That's what bothers me.
Mr. Querman, let me ask you this. For a guy who's been in the business as long as you have, I mean, many people would rest on their laurels at this point. Once you've been honored, as you were last year, by the Academy Awards with the Lifetime Achievement Award, you can pretty much hang it up and just retire, live out the golden years. But you still seem to be so energized by film. What is it about it that keeps you working?
The creative satisfaction and fear. I read an article somewhere that said that men and in the first year after they retire die at a rate about twice as much as the normal mortality.
Wow.
So I want to stay having fun making films, and I'd like to stay alive.
Well, that's a good goal.
That makes a lot of sense. Are there movies even after this many years in Hollywood that you haven't been able to make, pet projects of yours that you've been trying to get made, you just haven't been able to so far?
I had a script about Crazy Horse, the leader of the Indians who killed Custer at the Battle of Little Bighorn, but I couldn't really get the financing for it, so I'm staying with Sharktopus and similar type films.
Ralph, you could play a tremendous General Custer. Think about it.
Absolutely. I'm a coward from way back.
Ralph, and think of yourself as Crazy Horse.
Or what if you made a Crazy Shark instead?
Oh, wait a minute. We've got it.
All right, so Sci-Fi Channel this Saturday night, they are going to be world premiering on television. Folks in Austin will have already seen it in the theater, but Saturday night at 9 on the Sci-Fi Channel, it's Sharktopus. And this is, it debuts this weekend, but this goes in rotation. I mean, this plays forever on the Sci-Fi Channel, I hope, right, Roger?
Yes, I'm not exactly certain what weeks and so forth, but it will be playing a number of times.
And you told us at Comic-Con that Ralph was great in the movie, you were very excited by his performance, and that there may be other work in the future for this young actor.
We would hope so, providing he doesn't raise his price.
I know. No, I'll always stay the same for you, Roger. I really appreciate the break, and it was an honor to work with you, sir.
Very good.
Thank you so much for coming on, Mr. Querman. Sci-Fi Channel, Saturday night, 9 o'clock. Don't miss The Sharktopus. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Dave Navarro from Jane's Addiction joins us coming up after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat and a little something extra for the kids today. Right, Ralph?
Yeah, before I get to the showbiz news, I've got some tickets to give away for this weekend's big event, Epicenter 2010. Huge concert. This Saturday,
we have a winner, believe it or not.
We don't have a winner. I haven't even gotten through saying what you're going to win yet. This Saturday and Sunday at the Auto Club Speedway. It is it's an amazing event. Saturday's artists, among many, are Bush, Kiss, Eminem, Papa Roach, House of Pain. On Sunday, you got Blink-182, Rise Against, 30 Seconds to Mars, Bad Religion, Suicidal Tendencies. Just a great, great lineup.
We got a winner!
We don't have a winner. That's not true. I've got a pair of two-day tickets. That means you get to go to both days and backstage passes. All for you, if you're caller number 10 right now. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. 10 in honor of Epicenter 2010. Call now.
Nice.
And if you're caller number 10, you win that package.
Nice tie-in.
Thank you so much there, Psycho Mike. Speaking of cool events, if you have no plans for New Year's yet, and if you don't, you're a loser. Because all the cool kids already have their plans. Remember our buddy Lightning who would go nuts if he didn't have something massive to do on New Year's Eve?
Yep.
He just would lose his mind if he didn't have the biggest, most mind-blowing event to go to on New Year's Eve. It was the biggest panic of his life.
Hey, Lightning,
he'd start thinking right about now, right this time of year, what he was going to do.
What are you going to do? I'm having a little get-together. No! Not big enough.
We're going to get something bigger. What's going on? It's a big event.
There's something at the Staples Center.
Anyway, this year in Vegas, which is where a lot of people spend their New Year's Eve, the Cosmopolitan, brand new hotel and casino that's going to be opening in December, has announced that Jay-Z and Coldplay will both be performing at that hotel that night.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
They're doing separate sets, and then they're going to perform together. So that'd be a pretty cool event there. And apparently, it's also, the concert's going to be shown live on a 65-foot screen overlooking the Vegas Strip. So you get to see it, even if you're wondering about in a drunken haze, Omar.
I wonder what a guy like Jay-Z gets paid to do a New Year's Eve gig.
All the money?
Millions, right?
Yes.
For one gig, probably.
They just open up the counting room at the Cosmopolitan and say, help yourself, Jay-Z. Just whatever you can carry. It's all yours. This is fascinating to me. Do you remember the actor Balthazar Getty? Probably best known for Dead Poets Society, but he's been in a bunch of stuff since.
He was in Brothers and Sisters.
I think he's best known for being Sienna Miller's mister.
That was my next point here. He had a famous affair with Sienna Miller where he left his wife Rosetta and their four children. Apparently, they've gotten back together. Rosetta has welcomed Balthazar home with open arms.
Wow.
He says, I missed my family, and tells Harper Bazaar magazine, Rosetta is understanding enough and spiritual enough to let us try another time. She is spectacular, this woman. Either just off her nut, or just the most understanding person on the planet.
He's got an awful lot of Sienna Miller on him that he needs to get off somehow.
Yes. Well, I don't know how you put that out of your mind.
He's got either of them. He's got burnt sienna all over him, too. I don't even know what that means. I just remember that color from my crayon days. Mm-hmm. Speaking of marriages, Eddie Vedder got married over the weekend to his longtime girlfriend, Jill McCormick. They've got two children, so I guess they figured it was time maybe they got married. Did it in Hawaii last Saturday. Amongst the big-name guests, Jack Johnson and Sean Penn. Oh, what a limbo contest that must have been at the reception afterwards. Can you imagine?
I think they're out there on the dance floor doing the hokey pokey crazy stuff.
Putting their left foot in, taking their left foot out. Engaged is Kings of Leon frontman Caleb Followill. He apparently popped a question to his longtime girlfriend Lily Aldridge this weekend, so they're headed down the aisle. And, you know, not every relationship in Hollywood works out well, folks. I know that's news to you, but apparently Elizabeth Moss from Mad Men, who plays Peggy on that show, she and her husband of 11 months, Fred Armisen from Saturday Night Live, are now officially divorced. So,
well, they gave it a try.
They really did. Well, you can't ask for more than a year out of a couple.
Wow.
It's just not right. I think Peggy's going to bang Don Draper. Or Tom Draper, his brother. Either one.
She is. She's pretty awesome on that show, though.
Yeah.
She's pretty amazing. Speaking of that show, I knew it was a matter of time. The ripping and the tearing. Before this whole Mad Men thing took off, before this whole trend became a brand new genre of television we'd start to see more of, and it's happening. ABC is now doing their own period series from the 60s. This is about pilots and flight attendants who worked for Pan Am back in the 60s.
Nice.
Well, that could be fun.
Back when airline attendants were still known as stewardesses, the sexy stews.
Right.
The ripping and the tearing. The sexy stews.
The wild women.
The wild women. Flight attendants were known as stewardesses and wore stuff like go-go boots and had weight requirements. You couldn't work unless you weighed in.
Yeah.
And you had to be young and hot. Come on, airlines.
Back when America was good.
Do you want me back? You want me flying? You want my airline dollars? Think about it. That's all I'm saying. Apparently, Tommy Schlamme of West Wing fame is heading up a project, and it's going to be on ABC.
That's pretty promising.
Yeah. I think it could be fun. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jerry Bruckheimer, legendary producer, is 65 years old today. Stephen King, author of many, many horror novels. He is 63 years old. Bill Murray, one of my favorite actors, 60 years old. Dave Coulier, Full House, is 51. Cheryl Hines from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
No.
Come on. You can't deny.
You made a deal.
Kevin B. Lister James writes, in Cheryl Hines is on her way to Oslo. She won the Nobel Prize. Because she gets Nobel. I think that's what he's suggesting.
Would he like to take that back?
Is he on the panel of judges? Is he on the commission? I don't think so.
And when was the last time he ran into her? When was the last time he gave her the once-over with his own eyeballs?
He made a persuasive argument. He made a persuasive argument that has influenced the court.
But you are not the court. Yeah. You are one dude, and we are the court, and it's unanimous in this room.
And we overruled you.
We said
Lisa,
no.
even you are on board with Cheryl Hines getting a Bell?
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
You have to understand something, that the democracy of Bell is the democracy of Bell, much like America. It's not Iran. You are not Ahmadinejad. You can't just decide all on your own.
All right,
You're not the Ayatollah of the Bell.
Get the most tepid Bell ever, then. Here we go.
Still works for me. Still works for me.
Country singer, training right there.
Faith Hill is 43 years old today. Actress talk show host Ricky Lake turns 42. Luke Wilson is 39 years old. Nicole Richie celebrates her 29th birthday. And actress Maggie Grace is 27 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Pleasure to catch up with any of our friends in Jane's Addiction. Wasn't too long ago we had Perry Farrell on the show. Right now, Dave Navarro joins us via telephone. Hey, Dave. How you been, man? Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show.
I'm really good, man. Good morning. How are you?
Haven't talked to you in a while. I have to say, I know we got some business we need to discuss, but I have to start with something very important because I do follow your Twitter account.
Please, please, bring it.
You were serious or you were joking when you talked about how the Senate Republican candidate from, where is she, Delaware? Christine O'Donnell is actually hot and you'd like to do her.
Well, I think I was confused between the decision between her, Pelosi, and Bachman.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, all kind of hot and like just on some twisted level. You kind of got to think about it.
But I will tell you, the one thing I have, and for folks who haven't been following this Christine O'Donnell, I mean, she crazy, first of all. She's the one who spent all that time campaigning against masturbation and stuff like that. She seems so unbelievably sexually uptight in public that I bet she's just a crazy, wild woman if you could get her in bed.
It's interesting that you should say that because I absolutely have it on good authority that she definitely has experimented in the past.
Uh-huh.
Which probably gives you, you know, like, she probably went, I mean, I'm speculating here, so don't quote me, but she probably went through something that changed her views in a real profound and quick and dramatic way, and therefore you have the candidate that you have before you. But, you know, having said that, if in fact she's trying to ban masturbation, I'm cool with that, provided she takes care of things for herself.
Yeah, she's got to provide an alternative. Absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
If I'm not going to do it, and she bans it, you know, then I will say to you that I will welcome her to my home, to take care of it herself, and then you know, 100% she gets my backing and support.
Exactly. You will move to her state and vote for it. No, you're absolutely right. She's super, super, super conservative, and she says that she got too wild in college, that she experimented with guys and girls, and I think that's what turned her to the straight and narrow.
Right, but which begs the question, if you have a candidate out there who's telling you, I went through all this stuff, and that's why I'm running on this platform, wouldn't you say to yourself, well, yeah, then we should all be able to experiment and do the things that we want to do to grow and evolve and become the people that we end up being?
Yes.
I don't need you to dictate to me what I'm going to learn out of my life.
That's too sensible.
Exactly right. All right. Dave Navarro is on the phone. The reason he is calling is because he is part of a huge event in Hollywood this Saturday night. It's a PETA event. You and Alec Baldwin and a bunch of others are getting together to have something called the 30th Anniversary Gala and Humanitarian Awards. And do I have this right, David? You are being honored this year?
I am being honored this year. I was very surprised to find that out. You know, the PETA people reached out to me and asked me to be part of their campaign. That's a campaign where you get naked, and it's ink, not mink. And it's basically saying, you know, I'd rather be tattooed than wear dead corpses around my body.
It doesn't take much to get Dave naked, by the way. All you pretty much have to do is ask.
That's what I was going to say. I already happened to be naked that day. Just jammed down there and took a few pictures, and you know, I feel like a porn star because all I had to do was get naked, and I'm getting an award for it.
Exactly. Now, Dave, are you one of these people who was late to the knowledge about the evils of fur? Did it kind of sneak up on you, or is this something that's been a cause of yours for a long time?
So, back in the 80s, I was kind of aware of, like, you know, seal clubbing and so forth. And, you know, initially I thought it was just like a pack of little baby seals went out to nightclubs. I didn't realize that people were actually hitting them over the head. Yeah. With clubs, but you know, I became aware through the people at PETA. They do these great undercover investigations where they'll go to the fur farms and shoot video of these poor animals being skinned alive and really, I mean, this is just really heartbreaking stuff. It's probably too early to get into it, but as soon as I saw that, I was on board.
No, I'm totally with you, and I will say this. I mean, look, you can make a lot of arguments for a lot of things that people do with animals. I mean, we're never going to get people to stop eating cows, for instance, because they're just too darn tasty. I can't do it, but I understand why people do it. But in 2010, in my opinion, Dave, there's a perfectly acceptable substitute for fur that no one can tell the difference between fake fur and real fur at this point. It's just, it's senseless at this point to kill an animal to make a fur coat when you can make one in the lab that's just as good.
You know, you keep talking like that, they're going to honor you next year. I mean, that's absolutely right. You know, fake fur right now is just, you literally can't tell the difference, and there's absolutely no reason to, tearing the flesh off these little animals. And like you said, no one's eating mink. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly, yeah. PETA can call me. I will not get naked. I'm going to make that pledge right now. Nobody wants to see this. All right, one more question for you. And again, you go to PETA.org if you want information about the Gala and Humanitarian Award this Saturday night in Hollywood with Alec Baldwin and Dave DeRoy. One quick question, and that is, what's going on with Janes these days? We understand you're now back in the market again for a new bass player. What's happening?
Yeah, right now, well, Duff was with us for a little while, and we wrote some songs, Duff from Guns N' Roses, we wrote some songs with him, and did a handful of shows, did some European shows. It was great. He's an amazing writer, amazing player. At the end of the day, you know, I think his band Velvet Revolver is trying to get their thing back together, and they're auditioning singers. So we wish him the best with that, but we're currently in the process of recording a record with Rich Cossey, great producer who worked with Rage and Muse and, you know, a bunch of great bands. And we're just in the writing process and the recording process. And as far as a bass player, we don't really have anybody right now in mind. We're just the three of us, Perry, Steven, and myself, are writing and just hashing out the songs. And
gotcha.
We're gonna go forward.
I'm just psyched that you're talking about, I mean, you guys are working on a new record, because the thing with Janes is every time they get together, we always think how awesome it is, and then they go away again for a little while, and then we think, well, that's it. But it's always great that you guys always kind of come back to your first love and your first great band.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, we've been in and out of this thing for so many years, and we've broken up and gotten back together so many times that I've kind of taken the viewpoint that we just take five-year hiatuses. We never really break up.
Exactly. All right. The great Dave Navarro back on the Kevin Amin Show. Always a thrill to talk to you, man. Thanks for coming on today.
Appreciate it, man. Have a great day.
Keep listening to K-Rock all day today to win your tickets for Epicenter 2010. Alan Stromer from Tarzana just won his here on the world-famous K-Rock. It's 9:44.
No!
You're listening to the Kevin Amin Show. Ralph Garman joins us for one more look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Well, I guess we know now why they put Dancing with the Stars on the air. We just talked to two of its stars, the Hop and the Sitch.
Right.
Last night, Dancing with the Stars pulled in, how many millions of viewers do you think watched Dancing with the Stars last night?
Eight?
I don't know.
You think eight million viewers watched?
I don't know. Is that
a huge hit these days. I mean, 8 million is a very big hit these days. 10 million is a mega hit these days. What's Starz pulling?
Well, I'll tell you what. Rules of Engagement. 8 million people watched that, Lisa, and that was eighth on the list of shows last night.
Oh, wow.
Dancing with the Stars pulled in 21 million viewers.
That's like American Idol numbers.
Monster numbers.
And by the way, like I said to the Hoff, they know what they've got. They know he's the star. And they saved him for last on purpose so that people would hang around to see the Hoff.
Yeah, hi, this is David Hasselhoff. Listen, I wanted to figure out how to get tickets if I get down there.
You don't need tickets. just go to Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, but where can I get them?
You're
I mean,
one of the
like,
cast members.
Where is there...
Can I come to your radio station tonight and pick up something, or can I just go down there?
We have nothing to do with Dancing with the Stars.
Do you think there's rooms at the Marriott available?
What does that have to do with it?
Shoot at the studio where they do it.
Major fan of K-Rock. Well, I'd love to introduce the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Well, stick around. I'm sure we'll be playing them in just minutes.
How far is the festival from the Marriott in Palm Desert, you know?
There's no festival going on, Dave.
And when do they get the stuff really get going? In the afternoon?
21 million.
The Hoff loves to rock.
We know. Thank you, Dave. Is a huge number, if that's your point, Ralph. I forgot what story we're talking about, but it sounds like there's a lot of people watching Dancing
with the Stars. A lot of people. All I'm saying is, if a lot of people are watching it, then a lot of people are watching it.
That is true. No one could argue that.
Speaking of people watching things, Boardwalk Empire on HBO. The premiere was on Sunday night. I enjoyed it enormously. It's always tough with the first episode of a series, especially something as complex as the Boardwalk Empire storyline. There's a lot of exposition you have to get through, a lot of setup, a lot of introduction of characters. So I think all those things considered, it was really a good first outing for Boardwalk Empire. It drew 4.8 million viewers, which is the highest rated HBO premiere in 6 years. So people were definitely interested in watching. And HBO apparently so happy with the results, they have already renewed it for a second season. One episode into its first season.
Wow. How about that? Great cast. I mean, of course, Steve Buscemi, you know, you love him. But yes. Kelly MacDonald is so great.
Yes.
And Michael Shannon is, I love watching that dude. He's in the show. He's great. Really,
who's
really
Michael
good
Shannon?
Cast.
Which one does he play?
He is the leader of the feds who are trying to crack down on all the alcohol.
Okay,
he's
good.
The one who was Oscar nominated, remember, for Revolutionary Road?
Right.
Just a tremendous actor. But just everybody on that show is terrific.
Michael Schulberg, by the way, also in it, who was in the Coen Brothers movie, Serious Man. He plays Rothberstein.
The lead guy? No?
No. The guy from New York with Lucky Luciano. Rothstein. I think it's Rothstein.
All right.
He's the gambler, the one who's gambling in the thing. It broke him for 90 grand. Did you not watch, Mike?
I did not.
Give
me
a blank look.
I have a TiVo. Wait, well, Lisa May is aware.
Get to work.
Okay. I'm sorry.
To work.
I apologize.
This is good news. Finally, some good news about the Jersey Shore. According to Radar Online, JWoww has accepted a $400,000 offer to pose naked for Playboy magazine.
That's great news.
Now, the offer may face some contractual obstacles from MTV, because apparently they have to clear anything that she chooses to do. But it would be 400 grand if she poses fully naked, 200 grand if it's just topless only.
It's a vagina.
Did you see her get into the jacuzzi the other week with the with that Uncle Gino or whatever that old
dude was?
The
bod's good, man.
The body's outrageous.
And she, when she's not super guided out, she's actually kind of pretty.
No, I think she's a lovely girl.
Yeah.
I hope to see more of her.
I agree.
In the pages of Playboy. It is Tuesday. You know what that means.
New movies and
chicken
DVDs.
Chicken casserole in the cafeteria.
And of course,
New music.
Kevin and Bean cafeteria has the chicken casserole. Exactly. That's what we look forward to here. New CDs out in stores today. Hands All Over by Maroon 5. Oh, let's give some love to Maroon 5, should we?
Can we not?
Kevin loves to give love to Maroon 5, and I think in his memory, since he's passed away, we should give some love to Maroon 5. Don't you think?
Yeah.
I would love to be able to find that. Here we go.
Let's give some love.
Kevin is missed.
Holy mackerel.
We shall not see his like again. In Perfect Harmonies by Serge Tankian.
Glendale.
His solo record is available now. DVDs, Robin Hood, Russell Crowe and Cate Blanchett. Tinkerbell and the Great Fairy Rescue.
Wait a minute.
Nope.
I believe that is a Disney creation starring Kristen Chenoweth. I don't believe Psycho Mike's in that.
He wouldn't be.
Stomp the Yard. Homecoming, starring Keith David, Columbus Short, and Stephen Boss. There's a Stomp the Yard that David King Mexico doesn't know about? I'm surprised.
No! Yeah, this is brand new, as you mentioned. It's coming out today. This is a direct-to-DVD sequel to the popular Stomp the Yard.
I'm getting an earful from Dave in the office.
Thank you, Mr. Know-It-All!
Is Stomp the Yard 2 starring Twitch?
On TV DVDs, Spartacus, Blood and Sand, the complete first season is available. Spartacus was not a pirate. No need to go R, Mike. How I Met Your Mother Season 5, Modern Family. If you missed the first season of that, you can watch that before you start watching the new season. Castle, which was so good last night in its return. Complete second season available on DVD, as are the new seasons of the most recent seasons of Desperate Housewives, 30 Rock, Community, Two and a Half Men, The Mentalist, Human Target, The Hills, and Bored to Death.
Wow.
So check those out. Let's look at today's celebrity birthdays, shall we? Jerry Bruckheimer, who gave us CSI and CSI New York and CSI Miami and soon-to-be-seen CSI Poughkeepsie.
Wow, they're reaching now.
They are real reaching, yes. He is 65 years old today. Author Stephen King is 63. Bill Murray turns 60 years old today. Dave Coulier from Full House turns 51 years old today. David James Elliott of JAG fame is 50. Oh, JAG. Don't you miss JAG? I miss JAG. What was JAG? I just know a lot of people watched it. It was like the Navy thing. It was like a Navy show, right? Yeah.
Exactly.
Sure, yeah. Cheryl Hines of Curb Your Enthusiasm is 45 years old today.
No.
Faith Hill turns 43 years old today. Ricky Lake is 42. Luke Wilson is 39. Nicole Richie celebrates her 29th birthday, and actress Maggie Grace from Lost celebrates her 27th birthday today. So, happy birthday, Maggie Grace. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
See, he cowered when Alex came in with her high-powered defense.
My decision
to not play the bell for Cheryl Hines.
I'm afraid if I hit the speed bump, the wheels would come off, so I just wanted to move on down the road.
Let me tell you about tomorrow's all-new Kevin and Bean show. I think you'll want to come back because one of your girlfriends is going to be on, Erica Durant.
Oh, Lois Lane. No doubt about a bell for her. Talking about the 10th and final season of Smallville. Lois Lane.
Also for Ralph, because apparently it's Ralph's birthday tomorrow, it's a tribute show. The great Stan Lee joins us, the creator of the X-Men and Spider-Man.
Hello, Spider friends.
Yeah, exactly. Stan Lee. What's Stan Lee talking about? What's he got going on?
He's got a whole new business. He is, I believe he still works with Marvel, but he's got his own production company now, and he's got a new line of comic books, and he's doing a big meet and greet where you can finally meet Stan, the man, the legend himself. You can have a chance to meet him this weekend.
He's like 90. He's still out there working hard.
Fascinating TV show, too, that I don't know if he
is just Superhumans. Yeah, that's Stanley Superhumans. It really is. He talks about people in real life who have such heightened powers of humanity that they're practically superhuman. It's pretty cool.
We'll talk about all that, plus the great Danny McBride is going to be here, the star of Eastbound and Down, which is also coming back this weekend. I can't wait for that. We want to give away more tickets for Epicenter 2010 and backstage passes tomorrow. Omar has the Glee cap for us tomorrow as well.
Yes.
Because he apparently has turned around, and now he's a big fan of Glee. So all of that happening for you tomorrow right here on an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Don't go away. Cat's up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music, including some Blink-182, also the band Jet, Rise Again, some Bob Marley, Mon, and, as you predicted, Ralph, the Red Hot Chili Peppers. It's all coming up here on the world-famous